6:09, Paul Harris filling in for Don and Roma. One of the stories we're talking about this morning is an overhaul of our financial system, which President Obama announced yesterday, a complex grid of new regulations and watchdogs designed to jump in before giant companies collapse and protect consumers like you and me from financial predators, which means it's a perfect time to bring in Senator Byron Dorgan, who's been a senator from North Dakota since 1992 and a decade ago was one of only eight senators to vote against bank deregulation, and is out with a brand new book called Reckless, How Debt, Deregulation, and Dark Money Nearly Bankrupted America and How We Can Fix It. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you, Paul?
Good. Nice to have you on the show again. Tell me what your thoughts were after President Obama presented his financial overhaul plans yesterday.
Well, it's the right subject. It's very important to get this done, but I think the creation or his notion that we should use the Federal Reserve Board is some super or uber organization to try to make sure that we don't have these kinds of risks again. I would simply observe that the Federal Reserve Board was part of the organization that caused all this. I mean, Alan Greenspan and the Fed sat on their hands and watched all this happen. And in addition, as you know, the Federal Reserve Board is accountable to virtually no one and is a very secretive organization. It seems to me that if we're going to deal with systemic risk, you need some regulators and or a group of regulators that are going to be accountable and transparent and open.
How difficult is it going to be for you and other members of our government to re-regulate an industry that, frankly, has been running freely for the last few years, running around yelling, free market, free market, free market?
It's going to be hard, not hard for me, but it's going to be hard to find the votes because, frankly, Wall Street is once again on a full-court press to try to make sure that they're able to keep the swollen profits they had as they bought all these toxic assets and traded them. You know, the other thing is this issue of too big to fail. The president needs to address that. He hasn't. But it seems to me too big to fail is no-fault capitalism. You know, these big interests steered the country into the ditch, made a lot of money doing it, and then said, by the way, now we need to be bailed out by the American taxpayers.
But now we hear that some of these big banks, about 10 of them this week, announced that they are ready to start repaying the federal government. Does that mean that as a federal government supporter, as a taxpayer, I'm going to get repaid?
Well, no. The reason they're wanting to do that is they want to remove any restrictions about compensation to themselves. And, you know, last year, 2008, the financial firms in New York, Wall Street principally, lost $36 billion, and they paid bonuses of $16 billion. Now, you know, I have an MBA. I went to business school. They didn't teach in business school that you lose a bunch of money and pay huge bonuses. But that's why they're rushing and scurrying to try to repay some of this so that they're out from under the restrictions on the bonuses and compensation.
All right. So how are you going to build in more protections against that sort of thing and for the consumers?
Well, we need to work on what the president has now offered, and we need to improve it and strengthen it. We can't allow this to happen. What happened was, you know, for a decade or more, we had people coming into the government as regulators who promised to be willfully blind. And then, in addition, the Congress repealed the laws that were established to protect us after the Great Depression. And that was Republicans and Democrats that did that together. I voted against it and warned against it. But, you know, you got to put this back together. We got to separate the fundamental banking from the riskier investment banking. And then we have to have regulators that really do regulate and watch. And Wall Street doesn't like it. The big financial firms don't want it. But the fact is we don't have any choice.
You use the word risk there. I want to talk about that for a second. It's said that without risk, there is no reward. What's wrong with risk?
Well, do you remember in the last years you would see advertisements on television and radio? Have you been bankrupt? Do you have bad credit, no pay, slow pay, trouble paying your bills? Come to us, we'll give you a home mortgage. Come to us, we'll give you a credit card. Well, you know what? That's not good business. That's just loading up with massive risk. And the reason they did it, all these companies, is they were able to sell the risks forward to hedge funds and investment banks. Everybody was making huge fees, huge profits. Meanwhile, the taxpayer gets stuck at the end. I'm all for, you know, I think there's an important element for investment and risk, but not by FDIC-insured banks and not by companies that at the end will decide, you know what, now that we've lost money on really bad decisions, we want the federal government to bail us out.
So is the government essentially going to tell these institutions, look, take as much risk as you think you can handle, but if it doesn't work out, don't come crying to me?
not FDIC-insured banks, I don't think they ought to be able to load up on real estate and securities risks. You know, they were prevented from that for the last 70 years, and then Congress and the President wanted to modernize this system, and so they allowed them to create these big bank holding companies. We need to retreat from that and back up a bit and separate fundamental banking from the investment banking and other areas that can take on some risk.
Let's talk again about the idea of too big to fail, which is where all the TARP money came from last year, because there were so many people in the financial services sector who were dependent on those big banks and other institutions, plus all the ancillary businesses aside from them. Would you have let at least one of those big institutions fail as a lesson?
Well, Lehman was allowed to fail, and, you know, in retrospect, a good number of economists think that was a mistake. But I think probably the mistake was not saying to some of those companies, you know what, you did this yourself, you're going to have to take a bath on it. But now the question, that didn't happen, so now the question going forward is, are we going to continue with institutions that are too big to fail and even allow them to become bigger through mergers, or are we going to decide it's against the interests of this country and the taxpayers to have these big companies that are too big to fail and that aren't effectively regulated? I think that's no-fault capitalism, and I think that's unfair to the American people.
Senator John Dempsey in our newsroom has a question for you.
Hi, Senator. I don't know if you saw the New York Times this morning, but it's got a new poll out. President Obama with a 63% approval rating, but only 41% of Americans think that he's developed a strategy to deal with the deficit. What do you think about that?
I think they're probably accurate, and I think the deficit's a very, very serious problem. You know, we're talking about health care, that's important. Climate change, that's important, all these issues. But the fact is, if we don't get our arms around the giant deficits, a substantial amount of it was created by this deep, deep recession, and he inherited a bunch of trouble, I agree. But the fact is, we've got to work our way out of it, and we've got to begin addressing the question in the long term, because he's got 10 years of budget projections, none of which bring this deficit under control. We've got to begin to do that as job one.
Senator Byron Dorgan, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot. Good to be with you, Paul.
Senator.